A brief commercial message before you see your video. Creating a so-called Palestinian state would be national suicide for Israel. First, there has never been a Palestinian people. The terms Palestine and Palestinian have no historic validity. Israel is surrounded by 22 hostile Arab Muslim countries with over 640 times the size of land than that of the tiny Jewish state. If the Jews surrender Judea and Samaria, Israel will be only 6 to 9 miles wide. If you agree that Israel must never retreat to such suicidal borders, then join the Jewish Task Force, JTF. You don't have to be Jewish to join. The link to join is below.
Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz and for Chaya Bat Shani, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two important subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. First, the disastrous week for the failing, incompetent presidency of Donald Trump. What a disastrous week this was. Again, he failed to repeal Obamacare. 8.5 months he's been president. He can't repeal Obamacare. The thing he wanted to replace it with is even worse than Obamacare in many cases. But in any event, complete failure, a disastrous, embarrassing, humiliating defeat for Donald Trump. And in addition to that, a race in the Republican primary for the U.S. Senate in Alabama, Donald Trump supporting the establishment candidate, spending $30 million to support the establishment candidate in a Republican primary in the state of Alabama, defeated by Roy Moore, who is an evangelical Christian conservative. A real humiliating defeat for Trump. Trump went down to Alabama, campaigned. A real bad defeat for Trump. So this was a bad week for Donald Trump in every respect. Two big blows, two big defeats for Trump's incompetent, failing presidency. And the second subject we want to discuss is Moshe Feiglin. Moshe Feiglin is running, of course, in the Knesset elections, whenever they do hold elections for the Knesset, which is the Israeli parliament. Moshe Feiglin will be running with the Zehut party, and we, of course, are supporting Moshe Feiglin. We're going to show you on this program this week how all the other phony politicians in the other parties are all copying Moshe Feiglin's ideas, because Moshe Feiglin has excellent ideas. And so the phony politicians in the other parties in Israel now are pretending, are copying his ideas. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, they say. Let's start off with Feiglin and his ideas. And it just shows you what happens when you have an honest candidate with good ideas, how eventually that can move things and can change people's policies. Moshe Feiglin was the only person running. The only party running, he and the Zehut, and his Zehut party, because you run by party in Israel. You don't vote for individuals. You vote for the Likud, or the Jewish Home Party, or Israel is Our Home, or the Shas party, or the Zehut party of Moshe Feiglin. You vote for one of the parties. You vote by party. You vote for a party in Israel. And then as based on how many votes that party got, they get, percentage-wise, proportionally speaking, they get a share of people in the Knesset if they pass a certain threshold. There are 120 seats in the Knesset, and you need to win at least 4 seats, which comes to 3.25% of the vote. You need a minimum of 3.25% of the total vote, and then you pass a threshold and you get representation in the Israeli Knesset. Okay. Feiglin and his party are the only ones running with any original ideas or good ideas. They're the only honest people running, and so we're supporting Feiglin and the Zehut party. One of the things Feiglin proposed, and he was the only one proposing this, is instead of spending billions and billions of dollars every year to help Israel's Arab Nazi enemies who live in the Jewish state, which is what Israel is doing now, instead of spending billions and billions of dollars on making the Arabs more comfortable in Israel, why not take all of that money and offer the Arabs compensation to leave Israel, to permanently surrender their citizenship, those that are citizens of the state of Israel, those that are not citizens, also to leave, to permanently leave Israel and go to some other country. Why not pay them to do so? Polls have shown that the majority of Arabs in Israel want to leave. Israel can get rid of this huge problem. Israel can get rid of most of its enemies. And the payments they would make to get the Arabs out would be nothing in the long term compared to the payments they're making to have the Arabs stay there. So this is what Feiglin has proposed. It's an excellent proposal, and it was originally made by Harav Meir Kahana, our great leader and our teacher. Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo. And now Feiglin is proposing this in his campaign. Well, he was the only one saying this. No one else said this in their platform. No one else was speaking about this. Only Moshe Feiglin. Even the phony pseudo-Kahanists who ran in recent years under a different party, they never ran on this platform. But Feiglin, who isn't even a Kahanist, is running on this platform. Now Knesset member Bezalel Smotrich from the Jewish Home Party is proposing the same exact proposal. He's proposing giving the Arabs compensation, offering them compensation to leave and move outside of Israel permanently. The same thing that Feiglin has proposed. Copying right out of Feiglin's platform. The Meretz party, which is on the left, which is on the extreme left, are now proposing open primaries, something which Feiglin and the Zehut party did. They have open primaries. And now the Meretz party wants to imitate what Feiglin has done with the Zehut party, with open primaries. Knesset members are now starting to speak about something which was unheard of, which no one spoke of in Israel except for Feiglin, changing Israel's compulsory draft army to a volunteer army, which is something you have in almost every Western country in the Western world. Israel does not need a massive compulsory draft army. Doesn't need it. Israel would do much better with a professional volunteer army. It would solve a lot of problems if Israel had a volunteer army. The days of fighting massive wars with huge tank battles and all the other things that happened in the 60s and 70s, those days are over. Okay, it's now a battle where the weapons are weapons of technology, and of course you still need advanced tanks, and you still need advanced jet fighters, and you still need the best weaponry on the ground, and you still need a good, well-trained army. But the rules of the game have changed dramatically, and Israel does not now need a bulky, compulsory draft army anymore. It doesn't need it. Israel will get all the soldiers they need and the best soldiers they need through an all-volunteer army, and that's what Feiglin has proposed. So, we have a situation now where, at first, when he proposed the volunteer army, everybody's saying, what are you talking about? We have to have Tzahal, the Israeli army, everybody, it's a people's army. Meanwhile, half of all the people are avoiding the draft one way or another in Israel anyway nowadays. And the army has lost a lot of respect among self-respecting Jews. They've lost a lot of respect by throwing Jews out of their homes. Their generals are all leftists. They put their own soldiers on trial for killing Arab terrorists. I mean, it's the anti-Semitic actions of the sick people who run the Israeli army have turned a lot of people off. And so when Feiglin says we should now have an all-volunteer army, it now resonates with people. And so now you have Knesset members from other parties also saying we should explore the possibility of an all-volunteer army. You have Knesset members from other parties also saying they like Feiglin's idea of giving educational vouchers, the voucher system that conservatives in the United States have proposed, that he wants to give an educational voucher system to Israeli parents so that Jewish parents in Israel can pick their own schools for their children instead of wasting huge amounts of money, gigantic budgets for the socialist teachers union in Israel, the Histadrut and the socialist teachers union. They pay off these socialist labor unions, and the huge amounts of money Israelis spend on education never goes to the children. It never goes. It goes to bureaucrats. It goes to teachers who are lazy and irresponsible and leftists and who teach self-hatred. It's a horrible system. And Moshe Feiglin says, let's give parents the power to choose education for their own children. And other Knesset members now, from some from the Likud, some from other parties, are saying that this is something that one of them said last week that he thinks it's an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea, and he's studying the idea. So Moshe Feiglin, who isn't even in the Knesset, is influencing people already more with his ideas than 90% of the people who are in the Knesset. You can imagine what good he could do if he gets in the Knesset with the four, you know, he has to have a minimum of four seats. If he has four seats out of the 120, you can imagine the good that could be done. I mean, he could be a catalyst that hopefully could begin to give people the ideas that will move Israel in a better direction and will open people's eyes to the fact that there are other alternatives. There are other ideas out there and other options out there for the Jewish people. They don't have to follow the same old establishment line, because all the other parties give the same establishment line to the people of Israel. They lie to the people of Israel. They're cheating them and robbing them and taxing them to death and destroying the country's morals. It's a horrible situation. A horrible situation, and all the other parties are terrible. And Moshe Feiglin can offer the people of Israel a moral alternative and a Jewish alternative, and that's why it's important that he get in the Knesset. I don't know. As I've said week after week on this program, I don't know if he's going to succeed, because for a small party to get 3.25% of the vote, or four seats, that's not easy for a small new party that doesn't have a lot of money to be able to do. We're going to run an independent campaign on his behalf. We're not running together with him, because we could say things that he can't say. So we're going to be running an independent campaign on his behalf. And we've already put up dozens of videos for him, and we're already launching all types of videos to try to convince people to support him. And when I say launching videos, I mean we're not just putting videos up on YouTube, we're also advertising the videos. Some of them are with paid advertising. So we started a campaign, and we see some encouraging results. Whether or not we'll succeed, I don't know. I think we have a chance. I think we have a chance. I think it would be very helpful to Israel and the Jewish people, very helpful if he was in the Knesset. And we're going to try our best. We're going to try our best. And remember, Moshe Feiglin was the only one who vigorously objected when he found out that I'm banned from Israel. He immediately took my case. He said, write me up a letter. Get a letter for me, get a letter ready for me, and I will personally present it to the Israeli cabinet ministers that are in charge. I will personally present it to them and ask them to deal with this and to allow you into Israel. And he did. He did everything he could. They still rejected it. They don't want to let me into Israel. But Feiglin has done everything he can to try to get me into Israel, because he saw an injustice. And he didn't know that I'm going to help him later on, and that it happens to be that this is going to be very helpful to him now, because my videos do get a lot of views. The Hebrew videos do get a lot of views, and some of them get tens of thousands of views, and that in Israel that can translate into a lot of votes. So this is going to be helpful to him in the end. But he didn't know that at the time. At the time, he didn't know anything about me. He just knew that I had served time in prison for my activities on behalf of Soviet Jewry, and that because of my activities with the JDL and with Rabbi Kahana, and because of my activities for Soviet Jewry, I was being denied the right to make Aliyah, to go to Israel, and even to visit Israel. That's all he knew. And he took the case right away and did everything he could. And if he gets in the Knesset again, he's going to do everything he can. And but believe me, that's not the only reason why we're supporting him. He really is an honest person, a decent person. He has a great platform, and we don't agree with him on all issues. There are issues in which we have differences of opinion with him. He's not a Kahanist, we're Kahanists. But in any event, he is an honest person, and on most issues, he is proposing things that I think would make Israel a much stronger, better, and more Jewish nation. So we're going to do the best we can, and in the end, we'll see. We'll see what happens in the end. If you agree that Israel needs a new voice, that Israel needs someone who says that we have to get the Arabs out, that we have to offer them compensation and have a massive program to encourage them to leave Israel permanently, if you agree with that, if you agree that we should throw all the illegal aliens out of Israel, if you agree that we should give Jewish education to Jewish kids and offer parents, Jewish parents, the ability to send their children to whatever school they wish to with vouchers. If you agree that Israel needs to have a free market economy, an end to the socialism that is tying down the Israeli economy, even though with massive with incredible reservoir of Jewish brain power, Israel is still a technological powerhouse. This little country has more startup companies, more technology companies, more innovations by far than any country in the world in terms of proportionally speaking, way, way ahead of every other country in the world, proportionally speaking, in terms of its size, compared to its size, or in consideration of its size. And if you agree, though, that if it had a true free market economy, Israel would be booming. It would be incredible. Also, Feiglin is against foreign aid from the United States. Feiglin is against a program that makes Israel artificially dependent on Donald Trump or Barack Hussein Obama or any other president. He wants Israel to not accept foreign aid. He wants Israel to be fully independent, which Israel is fully capable of doing. And of course, the implications for Israel's economy, for the psychological implications of a truly independent Jewish state, it would be the best thing we could possibly do for the Jewish people. And Feiglin takes the right stand on those issues. So let's see what we can do for him. If you agree and you want us to reach people with our message, you want us to support him and you want us to reach people with our message, and you want us to reach people also, aside from Feiglin, with our Kahanist message in general, then you got to help us, because that's all our budget, all is focused on reaching the Jews of Israel. That's where our budget goes, on reaching the Jews of Israel. The second subject I want to bring up, of course, is once again Donald Trump's disastrous failures. This week was really a disaster for Donald Trump. I mean, just a catastrophe for him. He's been president now for about 8.5 months, and it has been a dismal failure. You know, just compare him to all the other presidents. By now, all the other presidents had gotten most of their agenda for the beginning of their administration passed. Ronald Reagan had passed massive tax cuts and massive budget revisions and changes in the budget and bureaucratic changes. He passed all this legislation in the Congress by now. All of it was already, most of the Reagan agenda was already in place legislatively by now. He had gotten most of it passed. And of course, it led to the greatest era of prosperity in American history, what Reagan did. And even presidents that were not successful, generally speaking, like George Bush Sr. or like George W. Bush, who both were failures as president. But by this point in their presidency, they had gotten most of their legislative agenda, most of the things they promised in the campaign, they got it passed. Now, George Bush Sr. lied. He said, "Read my lips, no new taxes," and he did propose a tax increase. But the point is, what he was proposing in his presidency, he got it passed by now. And George W. got his programs passed at this point in his presidency already. Bill Clinton got most of what he wanted passed at this point in his presidency. So there were many legislative victories for every single one of Trump's predecessors. He is the first president in decades to have absolutely no major legislative victories, just defeats, one defeat after another, because he's turned off everybody. I mean, he has almost no legislative victories. Now, I don't mind if you're going to go against people and fight with people and even call them names, and they deserve to be called names, many of these people. I don't mind if you do that if it's going to accomplish something, but if it's just personal, petty stupidity, which is what Trump is all about, he is personal, he's petty, he's stupid. And if that's what you're going to do, tweeting all day nonsense, and it's not based on getting a program enacted and getting an ideology, and he changes his positions on the issues every 5 minutes, if that's what you're going to do, then there's no value to just antagonizing people for petty personal reasons. His enemies have been made for personal reasons. All personal. It's all personal with him. And he is pushing, together with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, he's pushing for mass amnesty. The Republicans in the House are resisting him, but he's pushing for the DACA amnesty program to give mass amnesty to millions of illegal aliens. If he gets that through, It'll be the first mass amnesty enacted into law in more than 30 years. And it'll be Donald Trump, who pretended to run as being against all of this, he'll be the first one to give the illegal aliens the biggest boost they have had in decades. How stupid can people be to support him knowing this? Unless you support amnesty. Unless you're in favor of DACA and millions of people being legalized and amnesty. He has made amnesty popular. It was unpopular before he became president. Congress wouldn't even consider it was unpopular. He has made it popular. Because he's such a buffoon and such a jerk and so clumsy and idiotic in the way he argues his cases on Twitter that he makes things that were unpopular, he makes them popular. Now, another example of just what a phony Donald Trump is and what a bumbling idiot he is. There was a Republican primary in Alabama to replace the Senate seat that Jeff Sessions vacated to become Attorney General in Trump's administration. Now, Alabama is supposed to be one of Trump's strongest states in the country. And this is a Republican primary. So Trump, if he can't influence voters there, where can he influence the voters? He supported a corrupt establishment piece of sewage called Luther Strange, who was the incumbent senator there. I mean, the lowest of the low, scum, who was appointed by a governor that was indicted and indicted for perverted sexual scandals. I mean, just the lowest. And he got appointed to the U.S. Senate because he backed this governor, this corrupt governor in Alabama. He backed him when everybody else turned against the governor because he wanted the governor to appoint him to the Senate, and the governor did appoint him to the Senate. I mean, it was so dirty and so filthy. And Donald Trump supports this piece of garbage. This piece of garbage, Luther Strange, was the best friends and the candidate of Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell's the ultimate establishment guy, the ultimate defender of the Washington swamp. Remember Trump said he was going to drain the swamp? Trump said he was going to get rid of all of that. You remember? He's the biggest defender of the swamp. He went in together with Mitch McConnell. They spent $30 million supporting Luther Strange in that Republican primary in Alabama. $30 million to defeat a good, decent candidate that JTF supported, Roy Moore. Roy Moore, an evangelical Christian, a real conservative, whose wife, by the way, was active in Ted Cruz's campaign in Alabama. That certainly doesn't hurt with JTF, as you know. No, Roy Moore is a real stand-up conservative. I mean, he's the guy they threw him off the bench because he defended the Ten Commandments. They threw him off the bench because he refused to enforce same-sex marriage rulings from the Supreme Court. He says he's not going to enforce them. They actually removed him twice from the bench in the state of Alabama. They forced him off the bench because of that. Not the voters. The voters liked him. He was forced off the bench by the political hacks and the frauds and the so-called judges. They say, oh, wow, you're not willing to uphold the law. The law is same-sex marriage. How can you not be for same-sex marriage? How can you have the Ten Commandments in your court? You're not allowed to have the Ten Commandments in your court. So he stood for his principles, and he twice was removed from office for this. He's a 70-year-old guy who all his life is fighting for principle, is a truly principled guy. And Luther Strange and Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell went in there and threw everything at him. I mean, smeared him. It was filthy. It was so low and filthy. Even Trump supporters, like Sean Hannity and the Trumpsters on the radio, the radio talk show hosts, Mark Levin, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, all these Trumpsters, even they were supporting Roy Moore. They went against Trump on this. This they said, no, this we're not, that's too much for us. They went against him and they were supporting Roy Moore. And so a big campaign was launched to smear Roy Moore, and Donald Trump himself went to Alabama the Friday before the election. okay, the Friday before the election. Election was on Tuesday, and the Tuesday of this past week, and the Friday before the election, Trump went there, held a huge rally, and urged people to support Luther Strange. He did, I don't know how many, he must have done like 200 or 300 tweets urging people to support Luther Strange. It was disgraceful. I mean, it was disgraceful. $30 million they spent on this to defeat Roy Moore, to defeat a true conservative. And thank God, Roy Moore won, and Luther Strange, the slimy, corrupt candidate that Trump supported, was defeated. And this was another big blow to Trump. It shows that his influence is very, very limited. You know, now they're talking about tax reform. First it was health care. He wanted to get his health care bill passed, which is Trump care. He wanted to repeal Obamacare but his so-called repeal would keep the taxes of Obamacare, would keep the bureaucracy, would keep the regulations, would keep all the worst aspects of Obamacare, and would put in new bureaucracies. So in many cases, as several true conservatives have said, in many cases, Trump care was worse than Obamacare. Anyway, it didn't happen. It was defeated. The bill what Trump was trying to do was defeated. Ted Cruz was saying, forget about all of these replacements. Let's just have a clean repeal of Obamacare. Let's just get rid of Obamacare. Then we can worry about what we're going to do in terms of improving the healthcare system. Let's first just vote for a clean repeal. They didn't want to do that. So, Obamacare was repealed by the Congress for 7 years in a row, over and over and over again, and President Obama would veto it. So there was a majority to repeal Obamacare. Trump comes in office, he makes Obamacare popular. The polls, by the way, showed that the vast majority of Americans were against Obamacare. Even Obama's voters, many of them didn't like Obamacare because it was terrible. It's a horrible system. Even Obama's voters were against Obamacare. It was overwhelmingly unpopular. And they got clobbered in some of the Senate and House races because of Obamacare, the Democrats. And it was very unpopular until Trump became president. When Trump became president, Obamacare became popular. Now polls show, this is the first time it happened. All of a sudden, when Trump is president, the majority of Americans now do not want Obamacare replaced. They don't want Obamacare eliminated. Trump has made a terrible program, a horrible program that was unpopular. He made it popular. He is truly the guy who catches the football and runs and runs and runs and scores a touchdown for the other team. He's the player that runs and runs and runs, scores a touchdown for the enemy team. That's what Trump is. He is such a disaster. Anyway, now they're proposing tax reform. And, of course, tax reform is something we all, any sane person would want tax reform. Our taxes are way too high. They should be, I'm against the income tax altogether. I think we should only have a sales tax in this country. I don't think there should be any income tax at all. There should be a federal sales tax to make up for the income tax, and that's it. But anyway, Donald Trump now is proposing tax reform, and he's already undercutting the Republicans and trying to make deals with Schumer and with Pelosi and with all these other Democrat beasts. And study already came out showing that what he's proposing will lead to higher taxes for most middle-income people. Most middle-class people will actually get a tax increase. The first year, it's very tricky. The first year, they'll see a slight tax decrease. But in the years that follow, eventually they're going to see an increase in taxes. Their taxes are actually going to go up, are going to go higher than they would have ordinarily, because of Trump's proposal. He's actually increasing taxes on the middle class. The overall picture is a tax increase on the middle class. And the wealthy, of course, Trump's friends, the billionaires, they, of course, get huge tax breaks. But people who aren't earning millions of dollars every year, people earning millions of dollars every year would get huge breaks. But people that are not earning millions of dollars every year, middle-class people and even upper-middle-class people, would end up paying higher taxes. Most of them will end up paying higher taxes under Trump's plan. So, I mean, this is, again, a situation where he betrays the people who voted for him. His plan is disastrous. And the things he proposes are disastrous. We'll see what happens. In any event, you would think people would be waking up already. You would think people would get the message. You know, George Bush Sr. said, "Read my lips, no new taxes," and then signed into law a big tax increase. He lied to the American people. Bill Clinton did the same thing. Bill Clinton promised a middle-class tax cut and then passed and signed into law in 1993 a big tax increase. So George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, two presidents in a row lied and increased taxes after they had proposed to decrease taxes. But Donald Trump, the collection of broken campaign promises that he has made, it goes way beyond anything Bush or Clinton did. He has broken all of his promises on immigration, especially. I mean, just, it is unbelievable what he's done with immigration. Where is the wall? There's no funding for the wall. There's nothing for the wall. You know, Paul Ryan, who supports amnesty, who is terrible, he and the other House Republicans are insisting now on funding for the wall, in exchange for giving amnesty to the DACA illegal aliens, which, by the way, is a proposal that I'm against. I don't think I'm in favor of the wall, but I don't think they should, under any circumstances, amnesty should be given to the illegal aliens, under no circumstances. They should just be funding for the wall, period, and the illegal aliens should be expelled. But in any event, the House Republicans are saying, if you're going to have the amnesty for the illegal aliens, you have to have money for the wall. And so there's going to be a big fight about that. Trump doesn't even want that. He is willing, he agreed with Schumer and Pelosi. And you can look this up. Look it up. Google it if you think I'm making it up. I mean, he agreed with Schumer and Pelosi to give amnesty unconditionally to millions of people under the DACA proposal and to have no funding for the wall. He said, "We'll fight for the wall some other time." He keeps saying that, by the way. It's already 8.5 months. He keeps saying he's going to fight for the wall some other time. I don't know what other time he's talking about. I don't know when there's going to be a better time than the first year of his presidency. But you're not getting the wall. You're not getting the wall from Trump. And you're getting amnesty from Trump. And, you know, just another interesting statistic just came up. You know, Trump said that he was going to deal with crime and he was going to really crack down on criminals, on violent criminals and gangs and so on. You remember? He used to make that a big part of his speech. Law and order. First year of Trump's presidency, every major category of violent crime is way up. Murder, rape, robbery, burglary, all up. All way up. He hasn't done anything about violent crime. He hasn't done anything. In every area, things are not going in the right direction. They're not going in the right direction. Now, he says the economy is better. That's his economic situation, which happened immediately when he came into office, is a continuation of the Obama economy. You mean the Obama economy is good? We're supposed to be satisfied with the Obama economy? That's what we have now. We still have the Obama economy. That's good. He hasn't made any changes in the economy to make it different from Obama. Anyway, what you don't realize is, those of you who are stupid enough to support Trump, what you don't realize is that it's going to be too late soon. It may already be too late. The country is going. The country's going. They're crossing the border in bigger numbers than they were under Obama. They're being deported in lower numbers than they were under Obama. Trump is really encouraging them by saying, "I'm going to give millions of you amnesty." He's cutting deals with Schumer and Pelosi to give amnesty to millions. He's increasing affirmative action programs. Do you know that? He's increasing affirmative action programs. On issue after issue, he's increasing budget spending. The amount of spending in the first year's budget of Trump's presidency is higher, even in terms of inflation, in real terms, in terms of inflation, it is higher than it was under Obama. He is spending and increasing spending at a faster rate than Obama was. And people are continuing to blindly support him. It's unbelievable. He continues to speak one way and act a different way. He never does the same. He never does what he says he's going to do. Never. And in the end, the big losers are going to be the American people. Because you're not going to recognize your country. This continues. We continue to go down this road. You will not recognize this country. And there'll be no chance of electing a conservative or a real Republican. There'll be no chance of ever electing a conservative or a real Republican again, because America is going to be a majority third world country soon. And Trump is accelerating that process. He's not slowing down the process even. He's accelerating the process. Oh, what a farce. Anyway, and by the way, as far as Israel is concerned, once again this week, Netanyahu revealed He again is freezing Jewish building, continuing to freeze Jewish building, and he revealed that Trump is continuing to put pressure on him and tell him he doesn't want any Jewish settlements, he doesn't want any Jewish building in Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem. Even in Jerusalem, Trump is saying he doesn't want Jews building in Jerusalem in their own capital. He says it's going to interfere with peace. What does that mean? That means that Israel has to give up Jerusalem. If he doesn't want Jews living there, obviously the reason is because he wants a so-called agreement where Israel surrenders everything and commits suicide, God forbid. He's a disaster on every issue. He's a disaster. And by the way, those of you who don't care about Israel, God will destroy you. God will destroy you. And that's not an exaggeration, because Israel is the most important issue in the world. God says so in the Bible, and he will destroy you if you do not support Israel, and if you don't care about Israel, and if America doesn't support Israel, America will be destroyed. And Trump is doing the same anti-Israel policies as Obama was doing, except in some cases even worse. So that's where we are. We're hopeful that at least Feiglin's ideas are getting across. Unfortunately, Israel is in bad shape because they have bad leaders. But we're hopeful that Feiglin's ideas will eventually make a change. Eventually. We hope he can get elected, and we hope something can be done. And in addition to Feiglin's ideas, JTF's ideas, because we're reaching people with our videos. And we're trying to change people, and we're trying to influence people. I don't know if we can reach enough people fast enough to make a difference to make the historic difference we want to make. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But we're trying. We're doing everything we can. We're reaching as many people as we can with the truth. And if you agree that's important, if you agree that's something we're obligated to do, then you have to help us. Help us by promoting our videos. Help us financially. We need your financial support. We're conducting an advertising campaign, of course, with the Hebrew videos in Israel. Help us in every way. Together, if we fight as a team, we can still make this a better world, Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.